Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and Jeff Kelm is with me once again this week.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little tired.
Yeah, you were up at Lake of the Woods this last week, weren't you?
Yep. I've been doing a lot of traveling. Lake of the Woods, Minnesota, is where the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers annual conference was.
I just became a member of that.
That's right. Yes, you're probably the newest member.
Yeah.
and we won some awards, and we'll talk more about those next week.
Okay.
But I've been doing that and traveling around the state and talking to people about the Lake Delton Fisheries Restoration Project.
Very important thing, very dear to your heart.
Absolutely. Ben Hobbins got this thing started. Actually, it was when he and I were on our way to the Outdoor Writers Association of America conference out in Bismarck, North Dakota back in June. This was a week or two after that Lake Delton disaster when all that rain caused the Highway A to wash out. And he said, you know, Dan, we ought to do something about that. And it was his idea. He said, what if we created a Lake Delton restoration fund of some sort? And I said, well, you know, if you can put it together, I'm on board. I think it's a great idea. And we actually announced the beginning of that program right there at the Writers Conference. And in the 2 months since then, we've developed a website, and the website is open now, and it's restorelakedeltonfisheries.com, and it has some information on the disaster, of course, and some news stories. There have been TV stories. There have been a lot of newspaper articles on it, and it has a page where you can donate and actually help purchase some of the fish or some of the new structure that's going back into the lake.
It's a unique way of being able to donate money. It's not just throwing your money to the wind. It's you're really being a part of the restoration of it.
Oh, yeah. And if a group, a sportsman's club, say, or a school, or even, say your block wants to buy a section of reef, we can actually put your name on that. I mean, there won't be a plate on it, but it'll be the so-and-so Sportsman's Club Reef if you want
right.
to do that.
Yeah.
And you can adopt a fingerling, or you can endow a whole school of fish if you want to do it.
Sure.
And it costs a lot of money. People don't think about what it costs to raise and stock little fish, but Tim Larson, who's the fisheries biologist in charge of that lake, can you imagine what it must have been like for him? Here's one of his lakes. He's got, I don't know how many lakes he's responsible for, but all of a sudden, from one day to the next, you don't have a lake.
Yeah, it's gone. Absolutely gone.
And you don't have a budget to manage to restore that lake. He's got a budget to do a variety of things, like do fish population assessments and do some habitat restoration work and stock some fish in lakes around his area.
But not to restock an entire lake.
But not to refill.
and refill, restock.
Everything. So, I mean, he's standing there scratching his head and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know where I'm going to get the money. And so Ben came along, and actually the Lake Delton Village Board pledged $20,000.
Wow.
To use rotenone to eradicate the carp, because Dell Creek flows right through the bed of that lake.
Sure.
And there were carp in the lake, and now there are carp swimming in the creek.
Right.
And he said, if you don't eradicate those carp before you restock the lake, you're going to be wasting your time and your money.
Yep, you betcha.
So they've pledged that money to do that, and then this website that I just mentioned will be the main vehicle for people to donate money to buy rock, riprap, and reef material, and to pay for fish, because Tim thought that it might cost $85,000 to stock the number of fingerlings that you need to stock when you talk about smallmouth and largemouth bass and bluegills and crappies and catfish, and then the fish that they eat too.
Sure.
The minnows.
Yeah.
So, and that's just for the first year. Second year might take another $40,000-$45,000, and then he will do an assessment to see how is it doing?
Yeah.
Do we need to put more fish?
Sure. Do we need to stock more? Do we just, I'm sure the fishing on the lake will be nothing to very little for the first number of years.
Right.
And to be able to build up. But imagine what this place is going to be like when it is fully restored in the next number of years, you know. And but the only way people can do that is by helping out.
That's right. Going to that website, which is RestoreLakeDeltonFisheries.com. And Tim said, you know, this is also, it creates an opportunity to actually do the Cadillac of fish restorations, and that is to actually go in there and put habitat where you would ideally like to see it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, this is our chance to make the quote-unquote perfect lake.
Well, near perfect anyway.
Yeah.
Deep water reefs and spawning rock along the shorelines. It's I'm really excited about it. It's an exciting project, and it's a worthwhile project. And folks, if you'd like to do something to help the folks at Lake Delton, just go to RestoreLakeDeltonFisheries.com, and you can read all about it, and you can donate right there. Well, gosh, we've got an exciting show coming up today.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff.
Oh, boy. We are talking with Lee Dudek of the Hunt for the Hungry program in Green Bay about the venison donation program. Now that hunting season's open, folks have an opportunity to do that. We'll talk with Chris Cantrell of Milford Hills and learn a little bit about a couple events coming up there at Milford. We'll talk with Brian Long of Glidden, Wisconsin, and see how the muskie fishing is up in Ashland County. And then a really exciting segment. We've got Dennis Dunn, who's the author of a new book called Bear Bow. This gentleman killed 29 big game species with a bow with no sights on it.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the book, I've read parts of it. It's just phenomenal. We'll talk to him and do all that right after this.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Finelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
Well, after five shots, that deer never moved. Jimmy knew that he'd been caught. And the warden took his truck and gun and the spotlight he just bought. Well, warden said, Jimmy, don't you ever come spotlighting deer again. Done told you three times, you sorry dog. Poachers never win. We play.
This next segment is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. And we have Chris Cantrell, who's the manager of sporting clays and field operations at Milford Hills, on the line. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Say, I've enjoyed a couple of outings after doves with you, and I'm just wondering, you've been harassing my doves when I haven't been there?
No, I've been leaving them alone, saving them for another day. Been in there looking. There's still some coming in. And,
okay.
And we had a great hunt together. That
yeah,
really
we did. We did a TV shoot and actually got a fair number of doves on camera, which is challenging, as you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was a great time.
And hitting them is challenging, too. I knew that, and I know you've hunted doves a lot in the South before coming up here to Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, they're not easy.
Yeah, I was tickled to see you missing about as many as I did there.
Oh yeah, it takes me a few shots to get tuned back in. Getting off the sporting clays,
yeah.
Shooting the big tournament targets, and going back to doves and shooting birds. But it was it's just fun to shoot, whether you hit or miss. But it's always good when you hit a few.
And why do you think that is? That it's difficult to transition from say clays to live game.
When you shoot the tournament sporting clays, you're shooting at shots that you probably wouldn't necessarily take in the field, and you're used to these big leads and big windows.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you get to dove hunting, you know, most of it doesn't take a really big lead, and when
yep.
you're used to seeing, you know, 4, 5, 6 feet of lead shooting clay targets, and you shoot at a bird, your mind's kind of tuned into this big lead, but you don't really need it on the doves and the ducks and the geese until they get way, way out there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, now you've got some events coming up, don't you? You've got a junior shoot, what, on the 28th?
September 28th, we're going to do a shooting clinic with some past and, I guess, current state sporting clay champions. You know, we have Blake Beschlick and myself are kind of getting this together. Blake is the reigning three-time state champ, and I have another guy, Jeff Hatamaki. He has always done very well at the state, and he's made numerous all-state teams. We have another guy, Joey Pausha. He was, I believe, the AA class state champion this year.
And,
Brett Dorak, he's been on a few All-American teams, and kind of getting this superstar format of instructors and shooters to help out the kids and get them into the shooting shape, I guess you could say.
Geez, I should come out for that. That sounds
absolutely.
Like an all-star lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
We're still working out the details, so stay tuned to the website, and we'll have everything everything put together. But it's definitely going to be on September 28th.
Okay. And fall hunting starts on the 1st.
Fall hunting, October 1st. I can't believe it's already here, but it is. This little cool front that we're starting to get kind of puts it into that fall feeling.
Yep.
Pheasants and chuckers will be here soon.
Okay. And folks who want to hunt, what do they have to do?
They can call us. We're there 7 days a week. Somebody's at the club. We can get you groups, individuals, families, parties. Just call us and we'll get you lined up.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to get out there and maybe shoot some more doves or shoot at some more doves before October 1st, and I look forward to hunting with you this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
All right. Well, Chris, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Chris Cantrell, Manager of Sporting Clays and Field Operations at Milford Hills, and this segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
Well, Dan, we always look forward to Outdoor Wisconsin. What's on the way next week?
Well, next week, Jeff, Judy has part two of that trapping segment. Last week they set traps, she and Tom Wandrash, and this week they're checking them, and you just might find a beaver or two in those traps. And I'll be grouse hunting up in Sawyer County with Dennis Karnowski, who's the vice president of the Rough Grouse Society, the national vice president of the society, and Tom Dew, who's one of the owners of this beautiful tract of land that we saw a little bit of in last week's show. That's coming up next week. But there are some events coming up as well.
That's right. The New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse has a Tips and Tactics seminar for Fall River Walleyes with Jason Schenker, Tuesday, September 23rd. That's at 6:30 p.m. Tom Roper of the International Offensive Pistol Association will present a seminar on match shooting with the IDPA, including all you need to get started in the sport. That's October 4th at 2 p.m. They got lots of other events going on. If you want to find out more about the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, you can give them a call at 262-641-2000 or visit them on their website, sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the Rough Grouse Society has a number of banquets coming up soon. Wautoma, Wisconsin has a banquet on September 21st. And the banquet in Marquette, Michigan will be on the 24th. And then there are three of them that I know of on the 25th, one in Milwaukee, one in the Wakefield, Ironwood, Michigan area, and one in Brainerd, Minnesota. For details on these, oh, and there's some more coming up, too. Crystal Falls, Minnesota has a banquet on the 2nd of October, and the big National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt will be in Grand Rapids, Minnesota on October 7th through 10th. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to ruffgrousesociety.org. And, Jeff, there's something coming up at Milford Hills, too.
That's right. They got a junior shooting clinic. That's Sunday, September 28th. If you want information on that, you can log on to their website. It's milfordhills.com or give them a call. It's 920-699-2249.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Segment is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And you know, Jeff, every week we have a segment sponsored by the Ruffed Grouse Society, and there's some focus on conservation in
Correct.
These segments. And we have a very interesting guest this week, Dennis Dunn, who is the author of a book called Bear Bow. And Dennis hails from Kirkland, Washington in the Pacific Northwest. Dennis, how are you?
Well, I'm fine today, Dan. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine. And your book is it's coming out very soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually the account of your tremendous quest, and you are the first hunter ever to take all 29 species of North American big game recognized by Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett with a bear bow. And that is, for folks who don't know, a bow with no sights or other accessories attached. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, how did you get started on this quest?
Well, I didn't realize for many years it was a quest. I didn't take my first big game animal with a bow until I was 24 years old and a couple of years out of college. That turned out to be a mule deer doe on the east slope of the Cascades in the late season here in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Along about 30-some years later, back in 1998, a friend asked me how many of the Pope and Young 28, it was 28 then, it's now 29 with the Thule elk added recently, but how many of the 28 had you taken? And that was the question, and I said to my friend, I don't know. He said, well, count them up. And I said, you have a list? And so we found a list, and turned out I had taken 18. And he said, well, you know, the way you hunt, that's quite something. And he said, I don't believe anybody's ever taken all of the 28 with a bear bow without sights on your bow for aiming. And he said, if you get after it before old age knocks you into the grave or a wheelchair, you got a chance to do something that very few people will ever do. And so far, nobody's ever done. And once he put that be in my bonnet, so to speak, why I couldn't ever get out of there. And between 1998 and 2004, September of 04, when it finally was completed, that became an obsession of mine, and I could think about little else.
An amazing quest. And now, why did you write the book?
Well, I guess the first impulse had to do with that part of all of us that exists in, to a larger or lesser degree. There's some ego involved because I realized I had done something that nobody else in human history had ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
There were six other archers that took the North American Super Slam, as it's called, before I did, but they all used yardage sight pins attached to their bow for aiming, which makes aiming a whole lot less problematical than when you're doing it purely on gut instinct. So I thought, well, you know, this deserves a book. And then the other reason, as I got into the book more and more, I came to realize, as the concept of the book developed, and I made the decision that there would be no photographs of the author and a dead animal at the recovery site, no so-called hero photos, I came to realize that the book, with the fine art involved along with the stories, had the potential to appeal to a broad cross-section of the public that are non-hunters. In fact, I think it's a book that could appeal quite largely and strongly to all but the rabid anti-hunters, who aren't more than about 10% of our society.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen an advanced copy of the book on disc, actually, on my computer, and if the final version looks anything like what I've seen, it's going to be just phenomenal. The artist Hayden and Dallin Lamson are well-known, internationally known wildlife artists, and they've got an illustration for at least each chapter, if not more, right?
Yes, there are 30 color plates in the book done by Hayden Lamson, and more than half of which he painted just for the book that had never been published before or seen the light of day. There's one for each of the 29 species, and because in May of 04, with my 28th animal, and 4 months later it was the Alaskan brown bear for my 29th, it completed things. Because I happened to be lucky enough to be at the right place at the right time on May 18th of 2004, I took a huge old male grizzly that turned out to be the Pope and Young World Record grizzly. Mm. So for that reason, Hayden decided to paint two of the grizzly bear, and there's one on the front cover, and then there's one of a sow with two cubs in summer alpine habitat in front of chapter 27, which has nine different grizzly stories in it.
Now, you were the first and so far the only to take the Super Slam with a bare bow, or is someone following?
No, I was the first, that's correct. But since then, two friends of mine, Fred Eichler and Rick Dugan, have both completed the Super Slam with all with a recur, which means all the species. Now, I don't know that both of them have a tule elk. I don't think so, but I'm sure they'll be after that soon. And in fact, I understand that Rick Dugan went on a tule elk hunt this August, and believe he was not successful, but I'm sure he'll be trying again next year. I should drop back to finish the answer to the other question. You ask about the art in the book. Mm-hmm. Hayden Lamson's color art, or the color plates, there are 30 of them, but Dal and his son, we have placed, scattered throughout the book, 37 of his fine line graphite pencil drawings of wildlife vignettes of most of the big game species on the continent. His art is there as well, and they're it's just, I think he's every bit as good an artist as his dad is. So it's an amazing collection of both black and white and colored fine art.
It certainly is. Now, let's get to the question of the bare bow. Why do you hunt with a bare bow?
Well, for me, it's all a question of the challenge. You know, if a person wanted to be the most efficient killing machine out there, you wouldn't hunt with a bow. You'd hunt with a high-powered rifle and a high-powered scope and so on. But that often becomes more a matter of marksmanship than hunting. I mean, I don't mean to take anything away from rifle hunting, but the fact of the matter is that when you purposely, knowingly limit yourself to a restricted weapon with a restricted range, something that's called a primitive weapon compared to firearms, you're stacking the deck against you. But the challenge is where it's at. I mean, our quarry, they're possessed of such incredibly fine senses of hearing, sight, and smell, that it's not even anything like an even contest. We flatter ourselves by thinking, well, at least we have rational intelligence, so we're smarter than they are. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, I mean, any experienced hunter can tell you, especially bow hunters can tell you how many times they've been outsmarted by animals that they thought they were smarter than.
It's certainly easy to mess up, yeah.
It's easy to mess up, and you have to get close, and that's the other reason I hunt with a bow and limit myself, because in addition to the challenge, when you have to get as close as you do to hunt bare bow, you're very close to your quarry many times for minutes, if not sometimes hours, before the moment of truth finally arrives, and you either have a chance to make the shot or you don't. But the observation of nature in the raw, in its most real form, up close and personal like that, is a thrill beyond the capacity of most people to even describe, or people understand if they haven't experienced it personally.
Mm-hmm. You were within a few yards, if not feet, of some of these large, dangerous animals that you took with the bow.
That's a fact. You know, well, I'm not a very good shot, so I got to get close.
Well, how close were you to, say, the grizzly or the brown bear?
I took my grizzly from 8 yards, and the Kodiak bear, the Alaskan brown bear, actually, it wasn't on Kodiak Island. I shot him on Baranoff Island. That was the last animal, September 17th of 04, and I took him at 5 yards.
Oof. What was the
Neither most... animal had a clue I was there, and of course, if you're going to get that close to them, you don't want them to know you're there.
Right, right. What was the most challenging of all the hunts that you did?
Well, it took me 7 tries for the grizzly and 7 more for the Alaskan brown bear, because I wouldn't shoot a female. All 7 bears that I've taken with my bow have all been males, and that's very purposeful, because you really hurt the bear population if you take a female.
Mm-hmm.
If you kill a male, you are dramatically increasing the bear population over long term, because every single year, most... people don't know this, even a lot of hunters don't know this, mm-hmm. but every single year, every male bear will kill somewhere between 1 and 3 cubs, and most male bear will kill every other male they can catch just to eliminate competition for food sources and breeding rights. But anyway, I think I lost your thread there. What was the question again?
Which was the most challenging?
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly. The bears, for sure, and then I have to say the wild sheep.
Mm-hmm.
All four species of North American wild sheep have 8-power binocular vision.
Mm-hmm.
They can see you from, they can see you from a mile away the way you see them from maybe 100 yards away. And it's just unbelievable, their vision. And once they see you, a mature ram usually doesn't stop running for 2 or 3 miles. So to get within bull range of them is an unbelievable challenge. And of those four, I would say the desert bighorn is the toughest for a bow hunter,
mm-hmm.
and close behind it is the stone sheep.
Okay. Well, Dennis, we have to take a break here, but we'll come back in just a couple of minutes, and I'd like to talk about your Wisconsin whitetail hunt and maybe some of your thoughts on folks getting started in hunting.
All right, be happy to do that. And when we come back, I also should finish the reason, the mission, the reason why I wrote the book, because I realize now I didn't quite get all that out.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll be right back after this.
Imagine a magnificent European-style lodge for your wedding or corporate retreat. Milford Hills Hunt Club can provide the perfect setting with its stunning architecture amidst beautiful Wisconsin scenery, complete with a full-service bar and catering, great rates, and a staff that's ready to pamper your guests from the time they arrive. For a class reunion, rehearsal, or any special event, call Milford Hills at 920-699-2249, W5670 French Road in Johnson Creek.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, or check them out online at mwshooters.com. While they last, save 25 to 30% on all the range guns that were used at the Great Outdoors Festival. Guns by Beretta, Stoger, Franke, Uberti, Smith & Wesson, and Ruger. Don't miss the Browning Shoot at Wild Wings Hunt Club at Campbellsport on Saturday, September 6th. A Browning rep will be there with a selection of new guns, and you can shoot them free of charge. Midwestern's tree stand sale runs September 4th through 13th. Save 10 to 30% on tree stands by Summit, Big Dog, and Gorilla. Save money on archery gear, too. Buy a new Quest bow by G5 and get $100 worth of G5 accessories. Bring in your bow to get it ready for fall hunting and get 25% off on a bow tune-up. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Well, we're back, and folks, we're talking with Dennis Dunn, the author of Bear Bow, and this new book, soon to be published, will tell the story of how Dennis took all 29 species of North American big game with a bow without sights. That's a bear bow. And Dennis, we were talking about your mission early in the first segment, and you had some more thoughts on that.
Yeah, I really didn't finish explaining why I wrote the book. As I got into the book more and more and developed the concept with the input from my dear wife, Karen, I realized that the potential for the book could be quite extraordinary if it were made appealing to the non-hunting public.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more I focused on that, the more I realized that I wanted to produce a book that would be enjoyed and enjoyable for non-hunters. And then it became clear to me that this book, once hunters find it, I mean, I don't delude myself. I know most of those who buy it initially in the first few months or year will be hunters, but I think they'll recognize once they've read it and evaluated it that it could be a very powerful tool in opening the eyes and educating the non-hunting members of their circle of family, friends, and associates.
Mm-hmm.
So down the road, I think the book potentially has it might even sell more copies to non-hunters over the next several years than to hunters in the long term.
Okay. Now, your first whitetail with a bow was actually in Wisconsin, and
mm-hmm.
that was an unusual hunt compared to the type of bow hunting most Wisconsinites do from a tree stand,
mm-hmm.
Watching trails and so on. Tell us about that hunt.
Well, I had been on a caribou hunt with my former wife in Quebec for that species of caribou, the Quebec Labrador, and I had met a young man named Clark Gallup, and he was hunting in camp with us, a tremendous bow hunter, I think well known to many Wisconsinites. And we became good friends, and then he invited my former wife Jean and me to come out and hunt whitetails with him that November. Well, perhaps it was the following year, I don't remember, but at any rate, we went out there to hunt with him, and I hadn't had a chance to hunt whitetails before, though we do have some in the southeastern and northeastern corners of Washington. I just had never really had much opportunity to pursue them, and I didn't take a big buck. He turned out to be a spike, but it was done driving rather than still hunting or standing, and I had never hunted that way before, but Clark would position me in a draw somewhere, and then he'd go around either on foot or by vehicle using whatever roads were available to get a half mile away or maybe a mile away, and then go through. Sometimes he had a friend, sometimes he didn't, but they would go through the brush, or he would, and drive the deer in the area toward me, and that's what happened. This buck came running up and stopped. I had positioned myself in front of a big downed root ball of a big tree. Mm-hmm. And I saw him coming, heard him, came to full draw, and he happened to stop right in front of me at about 16 yards, and that was it.
Huh. Dennis, did you have other hunters in your family to help you get started?
No, strangely enough, Dan, I didn't. I had no mentor in the family to lead me into hunting. I don't think my parents even had friends who were hunters. But my mother, ironically, she had taken up archery as her athletic activity in college.
Mm-hmm.
So at 5 years of age, she gave me a toy bow with toy arrows with rubber cups on the end, and she glued a little target on the back of the bathroom door, and pretty soon had me shooting that toy bow as accurately as that kind of bow can be shot, I guess. And then a year or two later, at 7 and 8, I went off to a summer camp where they had real bows and arrows and a real archery program, and just became enamored of the sport. And then the next thing you knew, I couldn't wait to go to an outdoor sportsman show and look at the deer and elk on the walls of the mounts, you know, and I started dreaming about someday being old enough to drive and drive myself to where the deer lived, and that was eastern Washington, I thought, but I didn't realize here in western Washington, the Columbia Blackfields lived all around me. I just hadn't ever seen them before.
Mm-hmm. So, and you got started that way. Now, what kind of advice do you have for folks who might want to get their kids into hunting, and specifically into archery?
Well, you know, archery is the great gate to pass through to begin with, because hunting is not for everyone, but it is a wonderful family outdoor activity that breeds tremendous values, core values of the kind that parents really want to see developed in their children, values that will take them through life. For those parents who are not hunters, I know of many who've had a child enroll in the National Archery in the Schools program, for example,
mm-hmm.
that got very enamored with the sport of archery, and then was persuaded by a classmate or perhaps an adult mentor to attend an archery shoot, and one some of these summer shoots, spring and summer shoots called 3D animal shoots, where the targets are life-size animals made of styrofoam and so on, and then they just kind of get drawn into it. If they like the feel of the sport and the fascination is there with nature and wild things, why, I think the statistics are showing that 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 of all those high school kids who get involved in the schools now, the program is in every 5th state, I think, all 50 states
it's
of the country.
It's in most of them, and we've got a lot of them here in Wisconsin in the schools, too. It's a great
program. In fact, wasn't your state the first one to do it?
No, Kentucky was.
Oh, that's right.
And we were the 20-something state, but we've got it throughout the state. So you were saying 1 in 3 or 1 in 4, what?
Ends up trying bow hunting.
Wow.
And, you know, once you get into bow hunting with the help of an adult there to lead the way and teach you a few things about nature, why it becomes captivating and in many cases very quickly addictive.
Mm-hmm. It certainly does. And maybe someone will come out of that archery in the schools program and go on to complete the quest that you did.
Yeah, and no doubt, maybe someday, I'm sure it'll happen. Records are made to be broken. It probably will be some teenager coming out of that program who is in it right now that will go on to shoot the new Grizzly World Record.
All right. Well, now, Dennis, you're going to be in Missoula, Montana on the 27th of this month for National Hunting and Fishing Day, a big celebration there, aren't you?
Yes, along with the two artists who published, who illustrated my book and also the publisher of the book.
Okay. And how can people get a copy of this book?
Well, they can go online and order it right now, either through my website or through the artist's website. Or, Elaine, that's the easiest way. If they live in the Missoula area, they can go to the book signings. The morning one on the 27th of September will be at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation in their National Headquarters Museum and Visitor Center. And then the afternoon one will be at the Sportsman's Warehouse store from noon to 4, from 10 to noon at the Elk Foundation and from noon to 4 at the other.
Okay. And your website is what?
It's straightarrows.com. Straight spelled without the A-I-G-H-T in the word, those letters being replaced by the number 8, the digit 8. So it's str8arrows.com.
All right. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us and letting us get a little glimpse into what it took to complete your quest. And I'm looking forward to reading the entire book, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too.
Well, thanks so much, Dan, for the chance to talk about it. And your listeners should know that if they want to click on a link at the top of my homepage, they can go to the artist's website and click on Barebow Gallery and see all 30 of the color plates that are going to be in the book. And those thumbnail images will enlarge when you click on them.
Okay. Well, that was Dennis Dunn, author of Barebow. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
And that segment was brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. Well, Jeff, it's time for another fishing report.
All right.
And this fishing report, as always, is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats. And this is also our Ashland County fishing report, brought to us by the Ashland Tourism Council, on the web at visitashland.com. And we've got Brian Long, a fishing guide from Glidden, on the phone with us. Brian, how are you?
I'm very good.
Hey, how's the muskie fishing been?
Well, it's been up and down as usual.
Yeah.
But earlier we had a good day. We had a 40 and a real 50 incher in the boat.
Wow.
No. And I'd call that a good day.
Yeah.
And a doctor from St. Louis that fished with me for 20 years, and he was due for a big fish, and he finally got one.
Wow. And what did that fish hit?
Yeah, he hit a surface lure.
Oh, I love that when they do it. And he let the fish. He felt the fish before he set the hook. I trust, huh?
Well. This one worked out.
Okay, good. Well,
oftentimes we pull it away.
Yeah. Well, great. So are things starting to change there?
Yes. The fall is becoming evident, and the water temperature is dropping. Again, after Labor Day weekend was very hot, and, and now the water is dropping, and the fish will act accordingly.
Mm-hmm. So the muskies are active. Are you seeing them feeding on bait fish schools? Do you see much of that?
Well, the bait fish are moving shallow, and on good days you'll see the bait fish scatter, and the muskies will be in by the bait fish.
Mm-hmm. Do you have much luck catching a fish that's chasing a bait?
Oh, if you can see an active fish, nervous water or bait fish scattering, that is a very, very good place, and oftentimes you can get that fish to come.
Oh, good. Say, you catching any other fish this time of year?
We're actually running into some very nice northern pike.
Oh.
And northern pike are some of my favorite fish because we release the muskies and we eat the pike.
Okay.
And we've been catching some pike up into the low 30 inches.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like every fall, about in September, these big pikes show up in the shallows where I don't catch them all year, where you're catching 18, 20 inches during the summertime.
Yeah.
In the fall, we're catching fish in 30 to 40 inches.
Oh, okay. Well, and on muskie baits?
Well, muskie baits, yeah. Basically, we're fishing muskies and catching the pike.
Okay.
Well, now this is kind of off the subject of fishing per se, but I was just wondering your personal preference on your best way to eat a pike.
Oh, I fillet them. I take the Y bones out.
Okay.
And my favorite way to eat a pike is to eat them fresh, to fillet them, and to roll them in flour and fry them in olive oil. And you don't have to do a lot of fancy stuff with good fish.
Yeah, that's true. One of my favorite ways is pickling them.
Oh, yeah.
I love pickled
pike. It's
yeah,
very good. So.
Yeah, they're very good that way, too.
Yeah, I've got some good recipes for that. You know, I actually prefer northern pike to walleye.
I do, too.
And a few people have told me that. You know, I think what puts a lot of people off is the bones.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
But once you learn how to fillet them, you've got good, white, flaky meat.
Oh, yeah, you can take those Y bones out in one single strip.
Yep.
And I eat pike all year. I love pike.
Of course, if you keep the pike, you're also improving the muskie fishing, aren't you?
Yeah. Most of these lakes in Ashland County have good pike populations.
Yeah.
And when I want to fish fry, usually my wife, Sheila, and I go out and we'll throw spinner baits and catch pike.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the fish that we eat. You know, everybody releases muskies.
Yep.
And we do too, of course.
Yep. Well, Brian, have you got any openings if people want to come up and fish?
I have some openings as the fall progresses.
Uh-huh.
If somebody would call and it would want to fish muskie seriously, we could set something up.
Okay. And folks can reach Brian Long at 715-264-4974. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, Brian, we appreciate you taking time out of your fishing to talk to us, and we'll catch up with you in a couple more weeks.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That was Brian Long, a fishing guide from Glidden, Wisconsin, and this report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury, number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats. And it was also brought to you by the Ashland Tourism Council, on the web at visitashland.com.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. And send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad Soft Bait Brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus sporting clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clay system and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. In September, Milford Hills Hunt Club is open Wednesday and Thursday from 4 p.m. until dusk and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for both league and open shooting. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season starts October 1st for pheasants and chuckers. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at bachelor party outings of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
This next segment is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, on the web at mwshooters.com. Now, Jeff, bow season has started, and I know you're not a bow hunter, but I know you do a lot of deer hunting. Are you familiar with the Hunt for the Hungry project?
Definitely am. We see those orange flyers every year at the various sporting goods stores and the meat market where I live in Sheboygan, Miesfeld's Meat Market.
Sure.
They're one of the drop-off sites for Hunt for the Hungry, and I've done that before with a friend of mine.
Well, good for you. And we have a fellow on the line who runs a pantry in Green Bay. That's Lee Dudek, and he's the founder and the coordinator of Hunt for the Hungry. Lee, how are you?
I'm fine. Guys, good to be with you.
I'll bet you that does your heart good to hear Jeff's story there.
Well, I'll tell you, that really is a blessing to hear that story, and I hear many of those types of stories from hunters, young and old. We're entering our 14th season with Hunt for the Hungry here in northeastern Wisconsin, and we're teamed up again with the statewide program. And looking forward to another great year.
Now, you serve 11 counties, I understand.
That's right. We serve 11 counties in the northeastern Wisconsin area, and that's where Hunt for the Hungry got its start. Back in 2000, we teamed up with the Wisconsin DNR to start the Wisconsin Deer Donation Program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a statewide program now that has brought in more than 63,000 deer in its first eight years. So we've seen more than close to 3 million pounds of venison donated so far with deer donation in Wisconsin.
That's a lot of venison. Now, your program in just these 11 counties in 14 years, you've piled up a lot of deer, too.
Well, we've been fortunate to get quite a few donations, totaling 520 tons.
Mm.
That includes 14,000 deer and a number of different donations, packaged wild game, birds, fish, you name it. We have quite a bit of that coming up here to Paul's Pantry in Green Bay.
Now, I was just going to say that. It's not just deer. I mean, if you've got meat that you know you're not going to eat or whatnot, you can donate it to the Hunt for the Hungry program, right?
Absolutely, Jeff. We are asking hunters to clean their freezers. Don't let anything go to waste. If those packaged wild game is in good shape, bring it in. In fact, we had a guy drop off a 200-pound bear the other day.
Wow.
And we have that processed. We're paying for that out of our own funds. But we'll take whatever hunters have available, fishermen. We work with the DNR with the Strawberry Creek egg extraction. We get a lot of the salmon and fish that come from that. That goes into our program. So, again, we're taking all kinds of donations to feed thousands of needy families throughout the area.
Well, that's just tremendous. And you have a website, right?
Yes, sir. Our website is www.huntforthehungry.com. That's all small letters, huntforthehungry.com. On the website is all the information you will need as to how to donate a deer, how to properly care for your deer in the field, and links to other websites and other interesting information.
Okay, and you've got a big event coming up October 22nd at Stadium View, right?
Yes, sir, we sure do. And, in fact, I'd like to invite you guys to come on up. I haven't officially given you that invitation, but Wednesday night, October 22nd, is our third annual Hunt for the Hungry Buck Fever Night. It's a great deer hunting event. We have hundreds of people come on out to the Stadium View in Green Bay, which is just east of Lambeau Field. And we're going to be giving away a 2008 Polaris Sportsman 300 4x4 supplied by Pam's Outboard here in Green Bay. A number of other prizes, gun raffles, different raffle items. And we're going to have venison available. A number of our processors who are part of the program are going to be sampling some of their snack sticks and jerky and other venison recipes.
Oh, very good.
So it'll smell great. It'll smell like a smokehouse when you get there, and we will have a great time. It's a lot of fun. It's a family event. We have a number of activities for kids, all hunters, young and old.
Well, thanks a lot for talking with us, Lee.
Well, thank you. And, again, we encourage hunters to hunt hard, hunt safe, and help others this season. The need for donated venison is greater than ever before. So take advantage of those opportunities. Fill those bonus tags. Take an extra antler this year and encourage your younger hunters to get started in this great cause. They'll learn a lot about helping others out while enjoying the great sport of deer hunting.
All right. Thank you a lot, Lee.
Thank you.
That's Lee Dudek of huntforthehungry.com. And that segment was brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, on the web at mwshooters.com. You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small. Join us again next week.
I'll be trolling home to you. when my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worm